I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Psalm 127 as we talk about this issue of having a fresh revival in your home. Now tonight, what I'd like to do is, instead of primarily teaching to you, I want to kind of introduce us to the next couple of weeks' worth of sessions and what we'll be doing during this time, and also a little bit what we'll be doing in the Family Revival Seminar on Saturday. We're going to look really deeply at our marriage. You know, one fellow said marriage is a great adventure, just like going off to war. I heard another fellow say one time, marriage is an institution, but who wants to live in an institution? All kinds of people have varied ideas about marriage, but the truth of the matter is, the marriages in America, and sad to say, many of the homes in our churches are in incredible disarray. I don't have to tell you all the statistics that probably two out of three marriages are now ending in divorce. And like I said a moment ago, not only do we find that in the world, we find that in the church. And sad to say, we see it over and over and over again. As a pastor, on a regular basis, I would have men come to me and say, well, I'm going to break the marriage covenant, and I'm going to leave my wife or leave my husband, or that home that is to be a place of such moral integrity and moral teaching suddenly becomes a place of incredible immorality and worldliness. Or the home, which is supposed to be the place for our children, that is a place of refuge, a place to run to, became a place and is a place for many children to run from as quickly as they possibly can. That home, which is supposed to be a place where there is harmony and joy and peace, is for many people, if not for most people, a place of strife and conflict and anger and bitterness and disharmony. Now, what do we need? Well, we need real revival in our homes. And God is anxious and ready and waiting in this week to do more, I believe, in your homes than you ever dreamed was possible. As we look to the principles of His Word and the Spirit of the living God who is able to do all things in our lives. Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, we're just laboring in vain when we try to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, he's saying, on your own energy and your own power, and to retire late and to eat the bread of painful labors. But listen what God does. God is able to give to His beloved even in his sleep. And behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. A fresh revival in our home. God doing major surgery in our homes. We mentioned this morning, or Tim mentioned this morning, that really what revival is the reviver in action. And it's also areas of truth that we once knew and we once experience that are lying dormant being brought back to life. This week we may cover some area that you say, well, I know that. I know what a wife's supposed to be. Listen, I've been married for 40 years to my husband. I know what a parent's supposed to be. I know what a husband's supposed to do. But the question is not, do you know what a wife is to be? Do you know what a husband to be? The question is, are you being what God says you're supposed to be? In reality, every day in your home is Christ so manifesting Himself through your life that you're literally experiencing real revival in your home. Well, we need revival in several different areas, and these are the things we're going to talk about this week. First of all, we're going to see what it needs to happen in order to have a fresh revival of compassion in our home. Husbands, I want to ask you a very important question. Are you listening? You don't have to answer it out loud, just in your mind. Do you really love your wife? Do you really love your wife? Wives, do you really love your husband? Parents, Do you really love your children? You say, why? Of course I love my children. Of course I love my wife. Of course I love my husband. Why? Why, you're supposed to do that, and we do that naturally. No, that's not really true. And before you answer very quickly, let's think for a minute, as we'll do more carefully probably tomorrow night, about what real love consists of. Do you know that God says that when we have real love is always patient, it's always kind, it's never rude, it's never arrogant, it's never boastful. Real love never insists on its own way, never clings to its own rights. Real love never says, I've got a right to my time. I've got a right to my newspaper and my easy chair. I've got a right to some space in my life. That's not the statement of real God love. Real love never keeps a record book of someone else's wrong. And real love bears all things and keeps on believing no matter what and can endure anything and will never, ever fail. Now let me ask you the question again. Do you really love your mate? Do you really love your children? Do you really love all of your children? Do you love all of your children with the same kind of God kind of love? Often people would come to me in the pastorate when I was counseling and they would say, well, you know, the problem is with my marriage, I just don't really love my wife, or I just don't really love my husband. And they saw that as a justification for breaking that God covenant of marriage. But I would often say to them, they wanted me to say, why, of course you love your husband, of course you love your wife. But the truth of the matter is they didn't love their husband. They weren't loving their wife. But I had the great privilege of sharing with them, as I do with you, and we'll look at this week, the great truth that you can learn how to love your husband. You can learn how to love your wife. If you have a child that you have particular problems with, and you find yourself constantly clashing with that child, do you know that God may have placed that very child in your life so that He might teach you how to love and love unconditionally? And God is committed to teaching you how to love, not like the world loves, not like men merely love on their own, but with real God love. It is a foundation for the home. Do you love your family? Do you know how to really love your family? We're going to look at that this week. Another thing we need is a fresh revival of contentment in the home. You ever find yourself not really satisfied? There's just a little something lacking, and you think that it's another thing. If I could just have another hobby, or if I could just have another possession, or if we just had a bigger house, or if we just had a little nicer car, or if my husband would just act like this, or my wife would quit doing this particular thing, that just drives me crazy. I'm never quite satisfied. I'm never quite content. Do you know that Paul said there is a secret? There is a secret of contentment that he knew? When we look in the Word of God and we look at the lives of great Christian men in history, probably all of us would say, boy, I wish I could be like Paul. There was one of the greatest men that ever lived. You know one of the great keys for Paul was? Paul was a man who had learned, as he says in Philippians 4, the secret, and it is a mystery for only a few. Most people never, ever discover this in their lives. The secret of real contentment. Do you know the secret of contentment? And I can promise you, I'm not making a proud boast, but based upon the authority of the Word of God, that if you could learn and know and grasp and embrace the real secret of how to be content, that you will have the rest of your life joy and purpose and peace and real happiness no matter what circumstance or people or situation that God places you in for the rest of your days. Now that'd be a wonderful secret to find out. Amen? I mean, that'd be something worth giving some time to stop and think Lord, what is the key that unlocks the door for my life to real, genuine contentment in my home? I want to know the secret of contentment. We're going to look at it one night this week. And it's a key to bringing real revival into our hearts and into our homes. But not only do we need a fresh revival, of compassion and a fresh revival of contentment, we need a fresh revival of communication. I don't know how many folks have said in counseling times, my husband just never talks to me, or my wife just talks to me too much. I can't get her to be quiet. She nags and nags and nags at me, and she tells me this and tells me that. And so often in our home, instead of the right kind of communication, there's bad communication. Paul called it in Ephesians rotten words that are coming out of our mouths. Let me ask you if these are any of the things that happen to you in your home. Do you ever find yourself blowing up? Just blowing up? I mean, maybe even this afternoon, just blowing up about something, responding in words of anger and bitterness and resentment are coming out of your mouth to your wife or your husband, or maybe it's to your children, and you find yourself just flying off the handle at your children. Or maybe you find yourself clamming up. Maybe you don't blow up, you just clam up. And the key for you is what you do is you shut the door, and you shut the door on your heart, and you shut the door on your affections and your emotions, and you just hold it all in your life. A very, very dangerous thing to do. Blowing up or clamming up, or maybe your process is slicing up. Maybe the method for you when you get boxed in like an old coon boxed in by a dog is to lash out and to slice out with words of slander or malicious words at your mate or at your children. You know, it's possible, by the way, for you to say things, just one little thing, one little time, that so wounds the spirit of your child that they could be eternally affected by that. And it may be that some things have happened along the way where you have wounded the spirit by the words that come from your lips. You have wounded the spirit of your mate, or you have wounded the spirit of your child, and you're seeing all kinds of things in their behavior which has come out of a wounded spirit, which has come out of poor communication. And the words that should be coming out of your mouth have not come out of your mouth. The home is to be a place of absolute honesty. Let me just ask you this question for you to think about in these next few nights. Is your home a place of absolute transparency? Husbands, does your wife know everything about you, everything about whatever she wants to know about of your life? You know, she's one with you, and the Bible says we are to speak the truth, and that means not only saying the right things, it means not saying the wrong things. It's absolute honesty, absolute transparency that your life is an open book before your mate and before your children. The Bible says that the kind of good communication that's to come from my mouth are to be words that are fit for the need of the moment, just like a hand fits a glove. Words that constantly edify my children, that means to build them up. That doesn't mean that they're not strong words. That doesn't mean they're not words of discipline and reproof and correction and training. But out of my mouth, constantly in my home, should be words fit for the need of the moment that give grace to those who hear and are constantly building them up and edifying them and helping them be what God wants them to be. You say, well, Brother Bill, that's impossible. That just can't be. Well, in our own energy, and when we're not walking in revival, and when we're not experiencing God's presence and power and glory in our home will be a place of incredibly poor communication. But when God has the privilege and has the right to come into our home and into our heart to do all that He desires to do, then those kind of words can be the daily, normal experience for your life. And the home becomes a tremendous place of warm, loving, edifying instruction and communication. And the Word of God literally can come through you fathers to teach your children. And you can do what the Word of God does, which the Word of God is there, Timothy says, to show us the path, to show us when we get off the path, to show us how to get back on the path, and to show us how to stay on the path. And that can be what comes from your lips to the heart of your children. Are you so communicating, fathers, with your children that you are teaching them and correcting them and reproving them and training them so that they are thoroughly equipped for every good work? Do you know that's your responsibility? And do you know that God has that in store for you, desires to do that for us if we will just simply cooperate with Him? And you don't have to have a PhD, and you don't have to have a great Bible theology. You just have to have a heart that is open to the Lord Jesus Christ for Him to do what He desires to do in your heart and in your home. A fresh revival of communication in my home. And then there's another area we're going to look at this week. We could call that the fresh revival of the construction of the home, or really of service and ministry in the home. Anybody here in the construction business? We got some men in the construction business. Anybody? There's a few back there. Now, how ridiculous would it be if we went out and you had $100,000 to build a home, and you got out on that building site, and you just got your work crew around you, and you said, "Now look, we don't have any blueprints for this home, but we just want you guys to just kind of take off and build it. You just every man do what's right in his own eyes." And the guy says, "Well, you know, I think this would be a good place to put a board, and let's put a little concrete over here. We'll just shove a little concrete over here." And we go about the business of trying to build a home without a blueprint. Well, that'd be absolutely ridiculous, wouldn't it? I mean, nobody in his right mind would think of trying to construct a house without a blueprint. But do you know that there are those of us and those of us in the church who are literally trying to build not a temporal house that one day is going to burn, but we are trying to build our homes and our lives and the lives of our children, and yet we have not gone to the designer to look for the details of the blueprint? And do you know that everything you need to know about how to build your home is found in God's book, in His Word? Everything you need to know. You say, "Oh, Brother Bill, there's just something, it just covers a few areas." Now listen, God would be an unjust God if He said to you, "Wives, husbands, I want you to build godly homes, and I want you to train your children, and I want my homes to be a reflection of your glory," if He then correspondingly would not tell us how to do it and then give us the ability and the grace and the power to do it. So not only is the instruction there, but God will give you the ability to do it. And again, it doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take a theological student. It takes a man. It takes a woman who is willing to say, "Lord, I am unable," and in humility, "Lord, I come to You. I am absolutely unable in my own power, in my own strength, in my own mind to know how to raise my children, to know how to love my wife, to know how to communicate with my family. Lord, I can't do it. But Lord, the school bell is rung, and I'm in session, and I'm waiting to hear from You. I want to learn from You. I want to learn what my role is as a husband. I want to learn what my role is as a father, what my role is as a wife, and what my role is as a mother." Those things are very, very clear in God's Word. So we're going to look at a fresh revival of constructing our home and building it in proper roles and relationship like God intended and God designed. And then one of the most thrilling truths that we're going to see together is a fresh revival of completion in our home. You know, we love our mate's strengths. I mean, my wife is a wonderful woman. Any gal who would pick up and leave the pastorate and take our five children. We have five kids. We really have seven kids. We've got five here on earth, one up in heaven, and one in the hangar. But my wife is such a wonderful gal to pick up and leave the pastorate and come travel on the road with this bunch of gospel gypsies. And I told her last night as we were rolling in and setting up, I said, "You know, we've just got to be crazy. This has got to be God," and it is, "who's told us to do this." But what a wonderful wife that she would be willing to do that kind of thing because she knows that God's in it. I just love her for her strengths. But you know, my wife has these weaknesses. Your wife have any weaknesses? Any of y'all's wife have any weaknesses? You better not nod. You might be in trouble. How about you wives? Your husbands have any weaknesses? Let's just hear an amen. That was very weak. Very weak and very wise that you didn't say amen. You know, we love our mate for their strengths, and we really express that to them, and we love them. But do you also love your mate for their weaknesses? Or do you find yourself constantly reacting to your mate's weaknesses? That's the source of one of the greatest sources of conflict, strife, and disharmony in the home. Is when my mate exhibits, or when my children exhibit something that is a weakness, something that's sin, something that's wrong that they do wrong, I find myself constantly reacting to that. Do you know that God has given you your mate, now listen carefully, not only with those particular strengths, but also with those particular weaknesses, and if you will respond in the proper way, even those weaknesses can be tools in the hands of God to complete you and make you exactly what God designed and intended you to be. God gave you the right mate. He knows what He's doing. Listen, you say, well, my wife and I, when we got married out of the Lord's will, so I've got the wrong mate. Listen, even if you married out of the Lord's will in some capacity years ago, it is God's will for you to be married now, and you have God's mate for you now, and He works it all together for good in that marvelous sovereign way that only God can do. And if you learn this secret, God can use your mate and their weaknesses, and instead of seeing yourself every day in a prison of circumstance, oh Lord, why do I have a husband who always acts like this? Why do I have this husband who won't respond to God? Why do I have this husband who won't listen to, who won't lead our family? Why do I have this wife who's not doing this and who's always doing this and she's constantly doing this? Lord, I'm just a prisoner of circumstance. Why do I have these children who are responding this way and bringing dishonor to our name? Lord, I am a prisoner of my circumstances. No, you are in a marvelous, incredible classroom of opportunity. And we're going to go through a wonderful pilgrimage through God's Word to lift ourselves up and see your life and your mate and your children from God's perspective as His tools to perfectly complete you in your life. A fresh revival is what we need. A revival of compassion. A revival of contentment. A revival of communication. A revival of construction. A revival of completion. Also, I don't have it listed up here, but one night we're going to look at a fresh revival of forgiveness in our home. Do you know that to not forgive what we do, and literally the word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about this, when it says that love always forgives, it's an accounting term, and it literally means that love never keeps a record book of someone else's wrongs. You know, when the love of God is not ruling and reigning in our heart, someone does something to us, and we write it down in the ledger book of our heart. And you know, the only reason you write something in a ledger book is to be reminded that they owe you a debt, and you're going to exact payment one way or another. Do you know there are homes all across America? There are homes tonight, husbands and wives sitting side by side, shoulder to shoulder, in churches all across America, perhaps even here in Curtis Baptist Church tonight, where you have things written in the record book of your heart against your mate. Deep areas of unforgiveness. Deep areas of bitterness in your heart and in your life. Several years ago, we had the privilege, my family did, to go back to the church, a little town in Arkansas where my dad pastored and where I was born. Just so happened that one of our good friends was now pastoring that church, and my grandfather, who was still living at the time, was going to that church. So They invited my father and my two brothers and myself back to that church to hold a 10-day revival. Well, we had ourselves a time. And the amazing thing was the Lord very graciously showed up during those meetings. About halfway through that first week, one of the ladies in that town, a very prominent woman, her father had been a very wealthy man there in this little community in Arkansas. And she came to my mother and she said, "You know, I've just got to talk to you." And boy, you could tell that the years had really done some work in this lady's countenance, in her face, just her demeanor. Something was dreadfully wrong. She came to my mother and she said, "You know, back when my father died, there was a squabble in our family about the inheritance, about the family inheritance. And my sister and I have lived in this same town, a little town of about 5,000 people, and we have not spoken to each other for 20 years. 20 years. She said to my mother, "What do I do?" Well, my mother was a wonderful Christian woman, just a simple woman, but she knew the truth. And she said, "Why, there's only one thing to do. You've got to choose by an act of your will to forgive her. Take it out of the ledger book of your heart, and then you need to go and get it right with your sister." The next night, that woman walked through the back doors of the church, and I want to tell you, she looked 20 years younger. Literally, physically, her countenance had changed. She came and she told my mother with tears streaming down her face how she had gotten before the Lord and chosen to let go, to release that debt in forgiveness with her sister. And then she'd gone to her sister, opened up the door to her home. As the doorbell rung, they fell on each other's shoulders and began to embrace and weep, and their family was put back together in a marvelous way. You know, it may be that there are people here, even in this room tonight, who you are holding things and you may not even really realize it. Your mate did something to you years ago, 20 years, 30 years ago. I've known one man that I dealt with not long ago who was holding something in his heart that happened 40 years ago, and he had become, I believe, the most bitter man that had ever been I'd ever seen in my Christian life. But yet he was the busiest Christian man, and people in the church thought he was one of the finest Christians that ever lived because he was so busy. But his busyness was covering up for his deep guilt about the bitterness that he had in his heart that had gripped him and channeled him and affected him for 40 long years. A fresh revival of forgiveness in our home. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you have something in your heart against your mate, against your children, against those around you in some way? Wouldn't it be so wonderful in these next few weeks to see God so work that that record book was really, not just superficially, but was really deeply, genuinely destroyed. And in the place of that bitterness and that anger and that resentment, the love of God was placed and could grow and be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do. You see, what revival is, all revival is just the reviver in action. It's just God. It's God. You know what we need in our homes? We need a head-on collision with the Spirit of the living God. We need for Him to have the freedom to walk in every single room in our house and to walk in every single closet of our hearts and do His cleansing, purifying, life-changing work. He's so anxious to do that. The marvelous thing is, and the amazing thing is, that God is more committed to your home than even you are. God loves your children even more than you do. God wants to develop you as a godly man, a godly father, a godly husband, even greater than that desire is on your heart, it's on His heart and in His mind. And so not only will He meet you halfway in these days, if you'll just give Him some time and an open heart and a listening ear and a sensitive heart to respond to Him in obedience, God can bring, God Himself could bring great revival in our homes. And folks, I want to tell you something. If we would see in these days revival in our families, we'd see revival in this church and revival in this city. Real heaven-sent revival. Would you bow your heads and hearts before the Lord with me for just a few moments? You know, God Himself was the creator of the home. It wasn't something that man dreamed up or that some humanist somewhere said, well, this would be a nice thing to have a family unit. Let's do this. It was in the mind and heart of God to create the home. He created the first home. And He designed it. And He knows how to make it work. Not only did He create that first home, do you know that He created your home? He is the creator and the designer of your home. And we must see that and run to that and embrace that and thank God for what He's put together in that home. But not only is He the creator of the home, He is also the sustainer of the home. Paul said in Colossians that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that all things are held together. I believe that it's through the agency and the work of God Himself that this world literally is sustained. If He took His hands off, I think physically, materially, it would all just blow apart. But God sustains it all. It is all held together by His power, by His might, by His agency. And He is the sustainer of your home. Only He can make it work. Only He can provide the love. Only He can give the insight and the wisdom that you need. Only He can give grace to forgive and to restore and to remove bitterness that's in hearts and lives. Only He can do that. And so if we're going to have revival, we've got to look to Him as the creator of our home, as the sustainer of our home. And I wonder, in just these final moments of this session, if you wouldn't take a minute just in silent prayer to look to the Lord. You may already tonight, the Spirit of God may be putting His finger on some area in your home that you know is going to need major surgery this week. Or maybe something that you don't even know about, the Lord in His grace is going to blindside you with somewhere down these days because He loves you and He wants to make your home a reflection of His glory. But would you be willing in a moment of quiet prayer to just say this to the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, here are the keys to my house. Here's the keys to my home. Here's the key to the recreation room of our home, the social life of our home. Here's the key to the room of our communication. Here's the key, Father, to the room of our roles and relationships in the home. Here's the key to my lips. Here's the key to my physical body. Here's the key to my mind. Lord, here are the keys to our home. And Lord, I want You to walk through the door, go into every room, clean out every cobweb, walk in every closet. There is no place that it is unopened to You. If that's really, genuinely the desire of your heart, would you tell Him that right now? He'd be pleased to hear that. And He will honor that prayer and come in manifold ways this week. Would you do that in just a moment of silent prayer? Precious Father, we're so grateful that You love us so much that You never give up on us. And Lord, I thank You for the work that You've done in our homes already. I thank You, Lord, I don't know these people here that well yet, and we're looking forward to the days ahead as our hearts are knit together in love. And I thank you, Father, for the homes here that are a great reflection of your glory. And Father, for those others of us who really need your work, and really all of us need your work. Dear God, would you be so gracious as to come in mighty power in these days? And by your Spirit and through your Word, would you speak to us with such force and with such movement and with such conviction that we cannot hide from the truth? Because, Lord, you're the one that said we would know the truth and the truth would literally set us free. Father, not only do we ask that you would come and bring revival in our homes and our hearts so that we would be set free and we would know your joy and the blessing and the joy of thy salvation again. But Father, we ask that you would do that because you deserve that. Father, you deserve homes that glorify you. As we bear the name of Christ, you deserve for the world to look at us and see the beauty and the joy of your holiness and your glory. And so, Lord, we ask it for your sake. We ask it for your glory. We ask it so that you might have the honor and the dominion in our homes and our lives that rightfully belongs to you. Do a work in us, Father. In your precious holy name, we pray. Amen.